Thank you so much, ladies. I appreciate that. Well, before I start, we have congratulations tonight to Pastor and Mrs. Chemist. They became grandparents this morning about 7 o'clock. Is that right? About 7 o'clock, Ruth and Caleb had Jerome. Does he have a middle name?
Jerome Christopher Miles Wolf.
I'm going to teach that boy to write really quick. And of course, Jerome is after his great-grandfather. And we want to congratulate them and great-grandmother here tonight, too. We thank you for being here. Thank all of you for being here. I appreciate so much you coming out on a Friday evening. It's a privilege for me to be here tonight. And they asked me who I wanted to preach tonight, and I said, I want to. And they said, really? I said, yes, I want to. These graduates, I appreciate them. And I'm thankful for all of our faculty, our staff, each one who has had a contribution to not only our graduates, but our other students as well. And I want to consider some thoughts tonight on what do young people really need? What do young people really need? I'm sure if we were to ask these young people, what do you really need? Maybe their first answer would be a new electronic gadget, whatever that might be. An I-67. I went to the bank the other day and they said, if you sign up for a new account, we'll give you an iPhone watch, an iWatch thing. I said, what do I do with that? I don't have a clue what I would do with it. I said, that's nothing to me. What do young people really need? 1 Chronicles chapter 28 in your Bibles, if you have them. 1 Chronicles chapter 28. I looked and looked and tried to find a high school graduation in the Bible and didn't find one. But here we find a change in life. And this is what it is, young people. It's a change. You have gone through 13 years of education. And now you have some decisions to make. What is really important to you? What do you really need? Here we find that Solomon is probably about 40 years of age. David is going to retire from his kingship, turn it over to Solomon. In the first part of chapter 28, verses 1 through 8, David addresses the assembled multitude there. We see in verse 1 the princes of Israel, the princes of the tribes, captains, and just a whole host. Every official in the kingdom was there. And then in verse 9, he turns to Solomon. And he says, "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imagination of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee, but if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it." Let's pray together as we begin. Lord, I pray that you still our hearts and minds and allow us in these next moments to understand your word and understand how it applies to our lives, whether it be young people, parents, grandparents here tonight. And Lord, that you'd use it for your honor and glory now in Jesus' name. Amen. David tells Solomon the first thing. Now understand that Solomon is 40 years old and David did not just decide, okay, Solomon's 40 years old, so I better teach him some things. Certainly Solomon had been taught from a baby. I love this little bit. How old's your baby back there? 7 weeks old. And I got my grandson Levi's here and he's 13 months or something like that. And I love little ones. We don't start teaching children when they get to be 40 years of age. I've met some 40-year-olds that I thought that was the case. I thought, who fetched you up? We see David and his kingship, and then turning the reins over to Solomon, that he obviously spent a great deal of time with Solomon, teaching him, instructing him, giving him some values in life that would carry him through and make him to be one of the great kings of Israel. These we see in these first, in verse 9 and down into verse 10. He says, Solomon, you need a purpose in life. You need a purpose in life. And we see it out here, some simple words: know God, serve God, seek Him, build for Him. Simple things. Know God. First, to know in salvation, of course. To know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Because back in the Old Testament, they look forward to the New Testament times, and they look forward to the crucifixion of Christ, and they put their faith in the Christ who was to be crucified for them, as we look back and put our faith in the Christ who was crucified for us. He said, Solomon, you must know personally Jesus Christ. Not only know God, but as Paul would later say, that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death. Know God. Have a personal relationship with God. You know, young people, you could leave this place and go and find a cure for cancer, but if you do not know God personally, your life is a failure. You could find peace in the Middle East, but if you do not know God, then personally your life is a failure. You could find a cure for the energy crisis, but if you do not know God, then your life is a failure. Know God. Serve God. There's no greater calling in life than to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There are a lot of things we can do with our lives. And let me say this, having an occupation and career is not a wrong thing, it's a great thing to have. But if that occupation and career is the only thing in your life that has value, then there's a problem. Know God, serve God, and we say seek Him. Christ in the New Testament said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. But I'm afraid we live in a day when a generation is seeking after things and seeking after things and seeking after things and not seeking after God. And they have an empty place inside them. Because God said, seek me first, and all these things shall be added unto you. It says, take heed, for the Lord hath chosen you to build. David wanted to build a temple. He told Nathan the prophet, I'm going to build a temple. And Nathan, just like we do sometimes, spoke before he talked to God about it. And he said, go ahead and build it. And then God had to call him up short. And said, you got to go back and you got to tell David now that he can't build it. But you can provide for it. Solomon was to build what his father could not. You know, parents today, grandparents today, that should be our prayer for our children and our grandchildren. That they can build what we could not. They can accomplish things for God that we could not accomplish in our life. We should have generations that each generation is closer to God. Each generation lives a life that's more dedicated to God and can accomplish things for God that the previous generation could not. But I'm afraid I don't see that happening very much. So David gave to Solomon a purpose, but he also gave him a pattern. In verse 11, then David gave to Solomon his son the pattern. It goes on to list down through the next verses the pattern for the temple. He didn't say, Solomon, just go ahead and build this and, you know, whatever you want. There was a specific pattern for the temple. But I want to consider as much as the pattern for the temple, the pattern in David's life. David says, follow me as I follow Christ, even as Paul said in the New Testament. David said, look at my life as a pattern and follow the pattern of my life as I follow Christ. Would to God all parents would have that attitude toward their children. Follow me as I follow Christ. David said, I want to be a pattern that you can follow. Over in Titus chapter 2 and verse 7, Paul is speaking to Titus, the young preacher there. He said, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptedness, gravity, sincerity. A pattern. So David gave to Solomon a purpose. He gave him a pattern. And then going down to 14, he gave him provision. And he gave him gold, and he gave gold by weight for the things of gold. And on down through those verses, we see that David gave to Solomon the gold and the silver that he had laid in store for the construction of the temple. The precious things, the things, as we see in the New Testament, the gold, the silver, the precious stones, things that will last into eternity. He did not have to provide for Solomon the wood and the hay and the stubble. He didn't have to provide the rocks for the foundation and the wood for the beams, because those were easy to come by. But he said, I'm going to provide you the eternal things, things that have eternal value. We used to sing a chorus when I was a child, with eternity's values in view, Lord, with eternity's values in view. May I do each day's work for Jesus with eternity's values in view. You see, it's the eternal things that are important. These temporal things we see, they will pass away. They will not last. A friend of mine used to say, if it does not last, it is not real. And I'm afraid today, many times, even parents are encouraging their children to invest their lives in things that will not last beyond this life, instead of investing their lives in eternity. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody has to be a preacher, but everybody should be a full-time Christian. Not necessarily serving in a full-time capacity like a preacher, but serving Christ full-time no matter where you are and what your occupation. You know, some of the greatest Christians I have ever known have not been preachers, but they have been laymen who served God faithfully in the place where God put them. Think of a friend back in Ontario, Ron Myers. A faithful man, worked at General Motors, retired from there, served faithfully in the church. For I don't know how many are still serving faithfully in that church. Young people can look up to Ron and his wife Suzanne. They're faithful servants. They've invested in eternity. Give them eternal values. Give them what they really need. Give them a purpose. Give them a pattern. Give them provision. And give them a promise. In verse 20. And David said to Solomon his son, be strong and of a good courage, and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. What a promise. Young people, David, Rachel, Jessica, God has a promise for you. God has a promise for you, just like David had a promise here for Solomon, that you can do it. You can serve God in this generation. Think of Solomon, the son of David, the son of the giant killer, the son of a man after God's own heart, the son of the one who the lady sang, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. How can you ever live up to that? But David says, you know what, Solomon? The same God that walked with me in the valley of Elah and directed that stone at Goliath's skull will walk with you. The same God that was with me when I was a shepherd and killed a lion and a bear will be with you. The same God that was with me as I stood before the Philistines and they fell one after another, the same God will be with you. The same God that was with me as I ruled the nation of Israel for about 40 years, the same God will be with you. Young people, there's a promise for you. God will not fail you nor forsake you. You know what? Someday I might fail you. I won't do it on purpose. I won't try to. But I might. Someday your parents may let you down. They won't mean to. They won't try to. But maybe your expectations are not what they should be. They might let you down. But God will never fail you or forsake you until you have finished all the work that he has for you. One last thing. In verse 21, we see that David says to Solomon, Solomon, you don't have to do it by yourself. Look at the partners in verse 21. And behold, the courses of the priests and the Levites, even they shall be with thee for all the service of the house of God. And there shall be with thee all manner of workmanship, every willing, skillful man for any manner of service. Also the princes and all the people shall be holy at thy command. Said Solomon, you don't have to do it by yourself. The Levites, the priests, will be with you. They'll be there to help you. They'll be there to encourage you. They'll be able to assist you and help you move along. Not only that, but the political leaders will be with you, and they will help you. Not only that, but the workman, the common man who's going to cut the stone and carve the wood and lay the gold, he is going to be with you. And all the people will be with you. You don't have to do it by yourself. You know what? I'm glad that God, over through the years, has given me some partners to assist me in the work of the ministry. When I was a young person, the age of these, I had two men that I think of that I'm reminded of often. One is named Claire Hayward. He was a diesel mechanic for Clark Equipment. But he was my youth director back then. He was a layman. He didn't have a lot of education, but he loved kids, and he had some teenagers himself. And so he took on the responsibility, and he was just a great guy. Glenn Jager, who's my elementary school principal and my sixth grade teacher. I did get in a little trouble once in a while. But the rumor was he had a spanking machine in his office. A machine. He didn't have to do it by hand. Mr. Pickett, do you have a spanking machine in your office? He says he doesn't. I don't know. I'd check in there if I were. But you know what? Those two men, when I was a young man, they were faithful examples. I'd go to church, to the Waukeshma Baptist Church, and I knew every Sunday I would see them at church. Often Claire taught our Sunday school class. Glenn Jager played the organ. He was a deacon in the church besides being a school teacher. Faithful, faithful men. As I grew older, a preacher, J. Arnold Fair, took me under his wing when I was 18 years old. And he helped me and encouraged me and gave me guidance and instruction when I was a young man, just starting out in ministry, going off to Bible college, partnering with me. It's funny, when I told him, I said, "Pastor Fair, I believe the Lord's called me to preach." He sat at his desk, he looked up over his glasses. Well, he says, "If you ever accomplish anything, it'll certainly be the Lord's doing." Such confidence he had in me. If you had known me then, you'd understand. But my point is that we need to partner with these young people, not just with the graduates, but with these little ones over here as well. We need to partner. We need to be a Claire Hayward, a Glenn Jager, a J. Arnold Fair. We need to be a lady, a man that will partner with them and watch them and encourage them when they do right, and thank them for doing right, and thank them for coming up here and singing on the platform. Tell them they did a great job, and tell them it's wonderful, and thank them for serving God, and encourage them to serve God, encourage them to move forward for God. Encourage their parents. Encourage their grandparents. You see, raising a child for God does not just happen. David brought Solomon before the assembled multitude. Can you imagine that? All of the officials of Israel are there before him. David and Solomon are standing on the stage. There's nobody else that David's talking to. The pressure's on. Said, "Solomon, you need to have a purpose in life. Know God, serve God, seek God, build for God." Solomon, you have a pattern. Not only a pattern for the temple, but a pattern of the life of David. Let me ask you this. Fathers, mothers, aunts, uncles, grandparents. If these young people pattern their lives after yours, what kind of life would they have? Not only a pattern, but provision. Give them what they really need. What they really need. And then promise, you can do it. God will be with you. God will not fail you. And then partners. Partners in this church. Partners in your church. Partners who will come alongside and encourage these young people. You see, God is looking today for young people can accomplish things that our generation has not. Young people, God is looking to you. God is looking to those there behind you in the lower grades as you come up. God wants you to build something for Him that has not been seen in this generation. And God's promised that you can do it. Let's pray.